Pray with me. Dear Lord God, thank you that we can continue to fellowship and worship and learn together as a gathered community in these days. And this morning, open our hearts and our minds to the promptings from your Spirit. Amen. In this biblical story, there are four main characters, and Joel has already introduced you to the two main characters, Balak and Balaam. Now, I have often mixed them up in my life, but here's a little help. At least it helps me. Balak ends in K, and he was the king of Moab. And Balaam ends with M, and in this passage, he is a messenger of God. So first on the scene is Balak, the king of Moab, and as Joel said, he was worried. He was frightened. He could see the Israelites, and he was worried about winning a battle. And he called for Balaam, a pagan priest, who was known as a sorcerer and a sometimes consulter of the God of Israel. So we learn more about Balaam in other passages of Scripture. But right now, the third and fourth character are the angel of the Lord and the donkey. And you need to know about the donkey. He was Balaam's personal donkey. He'd been with him for many years. And the Lord opens the donkey's mouth, not with words from God, but she speaks for herself, and from her outrage at Balaam's behavior. Now, at the beginning of this, we know that the Israelites have left the desert in their 40 years of wandering, and they're making their way to the promised land of Canaan, fighting tribes and nations along the way and winning. And Balak's territory has come up, and he's scared. This army that seems to always win are camped in the plains of Moab, and Balak could actually see them, and he's terrified. These people are taking over the land, and nations and kings stronger than Balak have lost to them. What should he do?
The Israelites set out and camped in the plains of Moab, across the Jordan from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was in great dread of the people, because they were so numerous. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This horde will now lick up all that is around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field." Now Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, at Pethor, which is on the Euphrates, in the land of Ammah, to summon him, saying, "A people has come out of Egypt. They have spread over the face of the earth, and they have settled next to me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are stronger than I. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land. For I know that whomever you bless is blessed, and whomever you curse is cursed."
So Balak's emissary set out with money for the divination he wants from Balaam, or something for cursing the Israelites, because that's what Balak wanted Balaam to do. And the emissaries deliver the message to Balaam, and he invites them to stay overnight. And in the morning, he would tell them what the Lord had directed him to do. He would have seen there was a lot of money, silver and gold, but he wanted to at least give lip service to the fact that God was in control. But that night, God came to Balaam, and he asked, "Who are these men visiting you?" And Balaam replied with the story Balak had sent. "There was a horde of people coming from Egypt. They're taking over the land, and Balak wants me to come and put a curse on them so perhaps he could stand up to them and drive them away." God replied, "No, don't go with them. Do not put a curse on these people. These people are blessed." So Balaam sent the officials back to Moab and King Barak, and he told them, "God will not let me go with you." Balak wasn't happy. He didn't like this because, you know, he was frightened to the core as to what the Israelites would do to him and his land. So he tried again, and he sent more money and more officials who were more important than the last group. He desperately wanted Balaam to come and curse the Israelites.
They came to Balaam and said to him, Thus says Balak, son of Zippor, do not let anything hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me I will do. Come, curse this people for me. But Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, although Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. You remain here as the others did, so that I may learn what more the Lord may say to me. That night, God came to Balaam and said to him, if the men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but only do what I tell you to do.
So Balaam got up the next morning. He saddled his donkey and he went with the Moabite officials. But God was upset with him. Actually, he was angry. Down in verse 22, it says, but God was angry that Balaam was going. But why? Hadn't he given Balaam his permission? Didn't I hear Rosemary read that? Well, God knew Balaam's heart, that it could be deceptive and self-centered at times. And God knew that Balaam didn't always wholeheartedly worship him. He knew that Balaam sometimes tried to manipulate many gods and use magic potions, and knew he liked money. However, he told Balaam to continue on. God sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block Balaam's way. So here comes Balaam seated on his faithful donkey with his two servants, and they're on their way to Moab. Interestingly enough, it was the donkey and not Balaam who saw the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord had a drawn sword in his hand. Well, like any self-respecting donkey, he bolted off the road into a field. Balaam wasn't happy. He beat the donkey and turned it back on the road. And then the angel of the Lord moved to another place, to where the road narrowed between a vineyard walls. And again, it was the donkey and not Balaam who saw the angel of the Lord. And so this time he tried to squeeze by the angel of the Lord, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall. Balaam, angry, beat the donkey again. So the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place that was too narrow for the donkey to get by. And this time, when the donkey saw the angel, he just sat down on the road with Balaam seated on him. Boy, was Balaam furious. And in a fit of rage, he beat the donkey again with his staff. It was at this point the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. And the donkey said, what have I done to deserve you beating me three times? And Balaam shouted at him, you made me look like a fool. If I had a sword, I'd kill you. And the donkey replied, all your life you've ridden on me. I'm that same donkey. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted.
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down, falling on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? I have come out as an adversary because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let it live. Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, therefore, if it is displeasing to you, I will return home. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only what I tell you to speak. So Balaam went on with the officials of Balak.
Now when King Balak heard that Balaam was finally on the road, he went out to meet him. And Balak was a little irked. Didn't I send you an urgent invitation? Why didn't you come right away? Didn't you believe me when I said I'd make you a wealthy man? Balaam replied, hey, look, I'm here. But you have to know that I have no power to say whatever I want. I will speak only the message that God puts in my mouth. So the next morning, Balak took Balaam to a high place where he could look down on the people of Israel, sort of like what Joel had up there. They were spread out below him. And Balaam told Balak to prepare 7 altars and prepare 7 young bulls and 7 rams to sacrifice. So Balak did that. And the two of them sacrificed them on each altar. Now, it sounds very much like when you hear about altars and bulls and rams, the way that the Israelites were told to worship the Lord and to do burnt offerings. Yet nothing here is said about praying to God or offering up to God or asking God to curse the Israelites. But Balaam did tell Balak to stand by the burnt offerings, and he would go to see if the Lord would communicate with him. So he went to the top of a hill, and God met him there, and God gave him a message to take to Balak. This was the message that Balaam delivered.
Balak has brought me from Aram, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him, from the hills I behold him. Here is a people living alone and not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the dust cloud of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his.
When King Balak had heard the message, he was outraged and said, Balaam, what have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, and instead you blessed them. Balaam repeats that he can only speak the words that the Lord puts in his mouth. So Balak thought he'd try another thing, and he took Balaam to another place where he could look down on another part of the nation of Israel. And he says, you can't see all of them, but at least curse this many. And they did more sacrifices, and Balaam went off to learn God's message.
Rise, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a human being that he should lie, or a mortal that he should change his mind. Has he promised, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? See, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, acclaimed as a king among them. God, who brings them out of Egypt, is like the horns of a wild ox for them. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. And now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, see what God has done.
Well, Balak's response to this was, fine, but if you won't curse them, at least don't bless them. And Balaam responded again, I'm sure I've told you that I can do only what the Lord tells me. Well, King Balak tried once more, and he took Balaam to the top of Mount Peor that overlooked the wasteland or the desert. And they built some more altars and offered a ram and a bull on each one, but this time with a difference. Balaam now knew that the Lord was determined to bless Israel. So he didn't go with any of his background of superstitions and omens. He instead looked out toward the wilderness, and he saw the people of God, the people of Israel, camped tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came on him. And his eyes were opened, and he saw clearly, and he delivered a longer, sincere message. He hears the word of God. He acknowledges the Most High God, bowing down with his eyes wide open.
I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the borderlands of Moab, and the territory of all the Shethites. Edom will become a possession, Seir a possession of its enemies, while Israel does valiantly. One out of Jacob shall rule and destroy the survivors of Ir.
So Balaam goes on and continues to speak to the many different kings and nations that wanted to stop the Israelites from invading their territory. And to them he blesses Israel, And he tells the other nations that their destiny is destruction and that some of them will be taken captive.
Again, he utters his oracle, saying, "Alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come up from Kittim and shall afflict Asher and Eber, and he also shall perish forever." Then Balaam got up and went back to his place, and Balak also went his way.
So it appears that Balak gave up trying and Balaam went on his way. So here's my question to you. If you were in my living room, I'd want you to answer me. But what is the purpose of this account, these three chapters? Is there anything to be learned? There is a heavy emphasis on obedience. God wants us to listen to him like he wanted Balaam to listen to him. And Balaam sort of gives answers that says, "I can only say what God puts in my mouth," until his spiritual eyes were opened and he was sincere. And another thing is that God uses many unusual ways to speak to us. Balaam got a talking donkey and an angel of the Lord with a sword that he couldn't see. The king of the Moab got a sometime prophet of God who finally hears the word of the Lord. We might be nervous about having that Balaam come to us on our pastoral staff. It took a while for him to get the message. God does use unusual ways to get our attention. But for me, this passage is mostly about God's love and care and commitment to his people, the people of Israel. It says he always keeps his promises, and he protected his people as they made their way to the promised land. And as God first said to Balaam, these people are blessed. Today, when we make that commitment to God to restore fellowship and relationship with him, then we are his people. And he wants us to know that he will care for us. He will lead us. He will protect us. He will lead us throughout our lives. And he'd like us to trust him and praise him. We sang earlier, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes." When I sing hymns like that, I make them my own. And I think it's good for all of us to make hymns our own. At least for me, I am limited as I try to find words to praise God. And the hymns and the psalms help me. And many times as I'm making those words my own, then my own words follow. God leads and guides us as he did the people of Israel. And he protects us many times through unusual means. And sometimes we're totally unaware of his protection. But he is there leading, guiding, protecting, and loving. Later we will be singing "God of Grace and God of Glory." It's a prayer to God, mostly, I think, in response to God's promise to us that we find all throughout Scripture. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I will personally go ahead of you in your life. I will be with you. I will not fail you nor abandon you. You are my people.